Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys, girls, ladies, gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Delatory.
Just getting prepped in the background here. My bad.
Got to prep the back sometimes. Pause. Same time. Welcome back, fellas. How y'all feeling? Monday morning. Monday evening. Monday afternoon, I would say.
One of the three.
You are around the world, we do have a big population that listens to us in the Philippines and Indonesia. So every Monday I get a report that tells us where we charted or whatever. The number 16 overall sports podcast in the Philippines last week.
Not bad. Big Gator country, huh?
Shout out to you guys. How's everybody's weekend?
Not bad at all. Let's start with Nick. Nick, how you looking? Like you're itching to tell us what your weekend was about. So how was your weekend?
No, weekend was fine. Nothing big going on. I still have my weekends until mid-February when baseball starts, so enjoying having weekends before every single one is booked until June.
You're bored.
Or later, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, June would be the College World Series.
Dan got the big stuff going on, man. How was your birthday weekend?
It was great. Daniel. It was great. I was hopeful you guys would ask. It went well.
I started with Nick on purpose, man. I tried to,
no, it was good.
Get the low light side of the way. You feel me?
Yeah. No, had a great weekend. Big birthday on Saturday. Want to thank a lot of the listeners of this program. We raised $1,050 for cancer research for my birthday, so that's pretty awesome. Nice. Want to shout out Brooke. She took me to a glass blowing class before we met up with some friends. We made wine glasses, so that was a ton of fun. So going to go pick up the final product here pretty soon, but you play with glass and heat. I had a great time. So appreciate to her. Got together with a bunch of friends downtown St. Pete on Friday or Saturday, pardon me, and it was just, you know, it was just a day, you know, another great day here in the Tampa Bay area. The weather was elite. And shout out to that group of people that were there. So great birthday on to 36. And we'll try to make this one the best year ever.
Yeah. Always got to make the next year your best year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How you feeling? You feeling older? How 36 feel?
I am. Yeah. I'm starting to feel it. Yeah. Getting a little older, but just got to eat right, keep working out, and then just, you know, keep living the dream. You know what I mean? Can't make changes now.
Is the birthday crew dwindling down a little bit, or like what's that like?
Yeah, this year there was a good group, probably 17, 18 people that we met up with throughout the night, different times. But yeah, I mean, you know, life gets in the way. People move around. It's a little harder to get together with friends, but appreciative of them. For getting together, as you know, when you start to introduce kids and other things, and you know, when you're talking about taking up a potential whole weekend day, that becomes a bit of a challenge as you get older. So very appreciative of them for giving that day up for me. And yesterday, just as you can imagine, just kind of relaxed a little bit.
Yeah,
it's a tough number, Dan. I was trying to figure out, you know, what jersey number this would be. Pulled up famous number 36. Is not a great list. You've got
no,
did he wear 36? This is just what is this? This is NBA. I'm looking at it right now. Shaq with the Celtics.
Whoa, okay.
Rasheed Wallace. Is your Rasheed Wallace here?
I don't know if I want that.
Okay,
I don't know. I don't know how that might smart end. Year. Say what?
Your Marcus Smart year?
It wasn't Jerome Bettis 36, if I remember correctly.
That's what Silk said. Now I'm going. I was only looking at basketball players there.
There might be a number of hockey goalies that were number 36. Yes, Mark Richter was number 36. Tony Esposito.
I rode the bus, man.
Probably go with Jerome Bettis instead. Yeah.
Yeah, go with Jerome Bettis. All right. One, two. Blake said a rabbi once told him that 36 is the best age, something to do with Jewish mysticism. So shout out to Blake's rabbi friend. I appreciate that. We're gonna approach this year with that. I want to give a shout out to D, who in the comments before the show asked when the roll up was coming back. Stay tuned for a big announcement in the next couple of weeks. We're on
a short hiatus, man. We got a chance to interview Chris Johnson. We got some absolute studs we're going to be interviewing, some legends, some stars. Pro Bowl weekend, we're going to be doing some content up in Orlando as well. But we're going to be on a short little hiatus. When we come back out, you likely won't see us regularly on a format like this. Most of the time, we're going to probably be in a setting like Pivot and I Am Athlete, those guys on the couch kicking some vibes. So stay tuned, man. We appreciate all the love.
Real quick, let me take us off the rails before we get on the rails too far. Just a yes or no. Applebee's is offering a subscription date night pass. $200. The pass covers roughly a year of weekly date nights, according to the company. You can only get up to $30 of food and non-alcoholic beverages per use. Are you buying?
Scam.
Are you buying $200? Are you buying the Club Apple, all you can eat as long as it's under $30 and there's no alcohol pass?
So you would have to go 7 times in a year. I haven't been to Applebee's
in about 7 years.
I would say at least 7 years. It was probably 8 or 9 years is the last time. They did used to have, I'm not sure if they still do that, they had this like chicken fajita roll up. That was pretty good. But I don't see myself going to Applebee's more than 7 up to 52 times a year.
Okay.
It seems like a good deal though, right?
Now in college, you would have got me with this one, but I don't know because there's no liquor involved. And then $30, like what are you going to order? Like some wings every time? It's not a good deal. It's a scam. What restaurant would you want to do that at?
Noted optimist in the chat, Harrison Sanchez. He's back. He said Applebee's is dog food.
Yeah, he's not lying. Wow.
Spoken like the true 1% elite that lives in Vail.
No, Applebee's is terrible.
I mean, look at the headshot.
The you know true what I mean? 1% of the 1%.
Yeah, living Harrison off in the Sanchez mountains is his headshot looks like. I mean, that's a YouTube headshot, too, so I can't imagine what LinkedIn looks like. Probably has a three-piece suit on, the Rolex, you know, up to his head.
He probably got that made on ChatGPT, that headshot.
Applebee's has all-you-can-eat for $14.99, so that's two all-you-can-eat meals. I mean, for a college kid, like Silk said, I mean, that sounds like the bee's knees.
He said McDonald's would be the obvious choice without alcohol. You need alcohol to make this a deal, like... You're at Applebee's, Fridays, any of those chain spots, if they want to do subscription, you got to throw some 2-for-1s in there, man, at the very minimum, unlimited 2-for-1s.
So, Silk, I know your food eating changes have changed quite drastically in the last 3 or 4 years, but the question for both of you, amongst the big chain restaurants, not just like a local, you know, chain in South Florida or Tampa or Gainesville that has maybe three or four locations, what's your favorite national chain?
National chain. I mean, I know it's been catching a lot of flack in social media world, but I would say Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake Factory is wild. If you ever, there's a fantastic podcast with the CEO of Cheesecake Factory, just about how they're able to have such a vast menu and be able to serve so many different types of people so quickly with so much variety. Also, I learned that you have like a 9x times more success rate at a mall if you have a Cheesecake Factory compared to those malls that don't.
I see the vision.
Yeah.
I proposed at a Cheesecake Factory, just so you know that, man. Yeah, just randomly.
What part of the meal? Like at Cheesecake at time? Dessert.
Yeah, at Cheesecake. So the plate was, will you marry me, on the plate, sprinkled in caramel or whatever it was.
You didn't have appetizer confidence?
Yeah, I had to think about it a little bit. I wanted to see if, you know, if I had enough to pay for the entire meal, including dessert. So I was kind of calculating. I kid. Now, I just wanted to be random and casual and not like, you know, like, I think she could feel it brewing. You feel me? So I wanted to be as casual as possible. But it was definitely Cheesecake Factory. They make great mojitos. Straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mojitos is fire. Mango is my favorite.
I couldn't tell you what is on Applebee's menu, so it wouldn't that be Applebee's?
Everything.
But this is for a college Italian kid. That's the deal.
Yeah.
$30.
How often still got to include alcohol though, man?
Yeah. How can you serve dollar margs and then not include alcohol in this? But you know, I'm sure they would get taken advantage of. But man, didn't another restaurant do something like this a couple years ago? I don't remember, but I know that some of these restaurants are really struggling to get people out of the house. I'm not sure if that deal is good for every day of the week, but I know a lot of restaurants are starting to implement all you can eat wings back again, trying to get people out Monday through Thursday. So, but anyway,
Cheesecake menu is a Britannica encyclopedia, yeah. And that it is a little bit of everything in that joint, man.
All right, so Silk Cheesecake Factory, Nick, favorite chain restaurant. Then we'll get into the news everybody wants to hear.
Arby's.
I'm going to stay loyal. I'm going to go Moe's. I'll take Moe's.
Moe's is a good one. I was hoping for maybe a restaurant compared to fast casual, but that's fine. I'll go with maybe Outback Steakhouse. Not too bad. Not too bad. Their prices aren't too bad either. Their calories.
I've had some salmon. Salmon. Depends on how you know tomato tomato. I know the
pronunciation. The grammar police are in the comments.
Yeah. Pronunciation police is definitely gonna be on my ass about that one.
Silk's over here like the cheesecake menu has great depth.
It does.
Great depth to the menu.
I don't eat cheese anymore, so it's like it depends on what I'm going to Cheesecake Factory for, but it's usually a solid appetizer, and then. You get your variety of options. If I'm with the kids, they could get their joint off. And I like Outback, like fish, surprisingly. I know it's a steakhouse, but they do make some good fish dishes here and there.
Yeah. Their chicken's not too bad. Alice Springs. Anyway. All right, gentlemen. Thanks for having that little banter time. I'm sure all 165 people. The reason we haven't moved on to the Gators because there's not enough likes yet on YouTube. So hit the like button. We'll get to the Gators content. But besides my birthday, it was a fantastic weekend. Well, sort of from recruiting, it was a fantastic weekend for the Florida Gators. Gators landed one new recruit and then one player out of the transfer portal. So Gators landed DeAndre Robinson, who was previously committed to or went to Texas, asked for a release of his NLI, and announced over the weekend that he would be heading to the University of Florida. And he is up there today, as well as Jameer Grimsley, who was a recruit that obviously the Gators were heavily recruiting, were quite close, grew up a Gator fan. Heads to Alabama. Nick Saban retires. He puts himself in the transfer portal, was not released from his NLI. And he announced yesterday evening, there was a little drama on the message boards about whether he would make it up to Gainesville, whether he was trolling the fans, whether he was going to go to LSU with Corey Raymond. Who knew? But the Gators do grab Jameer Grimsley. We'll talk about both here in a second. Yesterday, he is on campus and has enrolled today. So the Gators, which previously had, I believe, the number 16 recruiting class, if you include these two in that, and that's not the way it's going to work because Grimsley technically is a transfer, the Gators would have either the number 10 or the number 11 recruiting class in the country. So, gentlemen, let's start with DeAndre Robinson. If you guys don't remember much about DeAndre Robinson, he is a defensive lineman from Jones High School in Orlando, 6'4", 315 pounds. We had talked privately back over the summer that DeAndre Robinson might announce for the Florida Gators. He ends up announcing for Texas. There was a lot of smoke from what we were hearing individually that he was still very, very interested in the Gators. Obviously, there's some coaching changes on the defense. Texas makes the college football playoff. He enrolls, ultimately commits back to the University of Florida. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts on DeAndre Robinson?
Big dude, what, like 6'6", 315. Think he will play inside at Florida, but played some end in high school. I think the big thing why Florida lost out to Texas was Bo Davis and the relationship there. DeAndre is like getting ready to enroll, and Bo Davis says, peace out. I think you win this one. Yes, that, man.
There. Oh, sorry.
I think you win this one out probably just because of proximity. And you got to a point where, hey, I'm going to leave because my coach left and I've been to Florida five times because it was just up the road. Family's just 2 hours, hour and a half down the road. They can come see me play. So I think you went out and I think Florida was probably really close initially, but you completely forget that you lost the first decision now that he's on campus and working out.
Yeah, relationships matter. Even if you miss on kids, you know, how you end up in that recruiting. I'm sorry about that. That's unprofessional of me not to cut off my ringer. But I think, like, recruiting all the way to the end and keeping the relationship going and not quitting on these kids in the recruiting process is important. I know a lot of our fans see the staff and like, oh, it's clear that that kid's going to Texas or same thing with Jameer Grimsley, who we'll talk about in a little bit, is going to Bama. But you just keep recruiting to the very end because finishing second could pay off, especially in today's game. But you got a guy that can eat space but also shed blocks very well, great size, position of need. I think he is a guy that could contribute early at defensive tackle, but I don't know if that if we need him to, is what I want to say regarding to him. I wouldn't mind getting another older guy at that spot, but you just can't go wrong with this kid. And he was released from his NLI because I'm trying to look at the rankings. It's a little bit different if they're considering it from the transfer portal or as a recruit. They drop from like a 4-star to a 3-star depending on either or. But overall, great get for Chapman, new defensive tackle coach, defensive line coach, got him a guy.
Yeah, and that's I think Dan, you made a good point on the timeline. It's interesting how two coaches made their decisions. One coach, brand new, decides to make a kid burn his one free transfer portal, which, you know, might not be just one anymore, but one coach tries to hold a kid hostage in the transfer portal era, and the other coach says, hey, I get it. Here you go.
And I know that
we want guys that want to be here. You can head out.
Go ahead, Dan.
I know that there. I got a bunch of Alabama fans mad. That is an agreement that can be from either side, but both sides have to agree. Can be agreed upon to end the agreement. Alabama chose not to end the agreement. Texas did. Even if the student is enrolled in that drop ad period, they are still allowed to agree to absolve that agreement, which is also an optional agreement. No player has to sign an NLI. The Gators have had multiple players over the last few years, Kyrie Elam being one, who never signed the NLI, right? So things that you can get out of, Kalen DeBoer does not allow Jameer Grimsley to do it. He burns his one free transfer. Now, with the way things are happening, it seems like there might be an unlimited transfer opportunity here in the near future. But ultimately, shout out to Steve Sarkisian for doing the right thing and Kalen DeBoer for doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, did Robinson end up attending a class or practice while he was in Texas? Or do you guys know?
I don't know.
I would imagine that school had already started, so I would imagine that he did. I know that he went to practices, I believe.
Right. Yeah, I know that some fans were saying that was the difference in my mentions as well when I mentioned Grimsley not being released from his national letter of intent. From a lot of standpoints, you want to keep the relationship cool and copacetic with that community, the high school that he's coming from. That's why some of that matters. And I know fit is going to matter with DeBar, however you say his name. But like relationships in the South, like you still got to go to that kid's school to recruit other kids. So with Nick Saban retiring after signing day, it looks like funny business. You know, if I'm the recruit or the kid, I could think, or the kid's parents, I think, man, that's some funny business. Now that I want out of the letter of intent, you're not allowing it. Now I got to burn or transfer. Some people saying that it doesn't count as a burn transfer because the coach is leaving, but I think it does. It just doesn't. Yeah. Time frame doesn't matter. Yeah, time frame. Right. Like whenever the coach stepped down, you're allowed to enter the portal. So it's a little bit different in that capacity. But yeah, relationships matter with all of that stuff, man, with the politics of college football and recruiting and releasing these kids and portal and national letter of intent and all of that. So
what are your guys' thoughts? I know we're going to kind of derail this conversation, but it's on topic. What are y'all's thoughts on if a coach changes kind of the fairness of what happens to that particular school? And I know Andy Staples got dragged on the internet, or Josh Newberg, I believe, did too, a few others kind of positing this out there that if a coaching change does happen, your school is, all the players at your school are allowed to transfer, but you're not able to now accept kids from other schools unless there was another coaching change. What do you guys think about kind of the fairness of that? Because like San Jose State's coach just left to go to Arizona. Arizona's coach left to go to Washington. Washington's coach comes to Alabama. Michigan's probably going to have a coaching change here soon too. So their players are allowed to transfer for the next 30 days, but they also weren't afforded the opportunity to go get players during that time. Do you think that should potentially be an after spring thing, or should there be definitive dates, or what do you guys think on kind of that rule that the NCAA has?
Yeah, I mean, how old is college football? Old. I'm not trying to make things more fair for the coaches who have had a golden ticket for 200 years to do whatever they want to do. You want to leave and now you're crying like, oh, I can't get more transfers. Well, that's tough. Yeah. Sorry, man. You got the spring portal.
Yeah, it's impossible to make it fair. Yeah. With all the other rules set in place. So it's kind of a tough spot to be in. How many schools are going to be in that spot? I mean, not a whole lot, but the few that have to deal with it, they definitely put it at a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. There's just no way around it, but the players should absolutely be allowed to leave once a coach makes those decisions, because bro, I don't want to assume a lot of things.
Gotcha. We'll keep you off the soapbox. So that's De'Andre Robinson. Silk, you mentioned it. Maybe an opportunity to play this year. The Gators have really beefed up their defensive line over the last couple of recruiting classes, as well as going to get Joey Slackman. Those are, you know, impactful players, as well as, you know, who the Gators have right now. So interesting to see what he does or how much he plays this year. But certainly a great get for the Gators. The other transfer that they landed was 6'3", 185-pound cornerback Jameer Grimsley, previously committed to Alabama. He was the number 89 overall, or pardon me, the number 240 overall player on 247. So, gentlemen, your thoughts? They have him as number 189 on the composite. So, gentlemen, your thoughts on Jameer Grimsley and the series of tweets from Will Harris. Lots of pawns, lots of checkmates. Yeah. Your guys' thoughts on Jameer Grimsley?
Good get. Another guy you missed on. You recruit all the way to the very end. You know, there was a lot of flip articles from all the websites pertaining to him throughout the recruiting process. He visited a bunch, grew up a Gator fan. And then me and Nick were kind of saying it towards the last couple of shows. Like, he's just looking for a reason to commit to Florida at this point. He looked like he wanted to do it, but in a lot of his quotes and things that he was saying towards the end when he finally shut it down was that Bama had more certainty at the head coaching spot and as a program, but all of that changed once Nick Saban stepped down.
That quote looks wild right now because he had said something like, Florida is like, they fire guys for having 10 win years. And if I go to Alabama, I know that like Nick Saban's going to be there. Guy was on campus for breakfast.
An hour.
And Nick Saban was like, later, bro. Thanks for being here. You can keep the wicker hat.
I mean, he had some fly pictures that he took, man. He had the saving brim on. Like, it was some fly stuff. The Bear Bryant joints that they were putting on.
Little did Jameer know, Nick was giving him the hat because he didn't need it anymore.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Hey, man, you can keep it. I'm good.
Nah, a great get. Defensive back room needs as much competition as possible. I think every spot should be up for grabs. Devin Moore struggled with injury. Jason Marshall hasn't lived up to the hype. So there's a lot of young, very high level, top tier talent out of recruiting process. Jakeem Jackson. You still have Dijon Johnson. You have Aaron Gates, who's going to be a defensive back competing in that room as well. So I think it should just be open competition, and Jameer has a opportunity to play this fall.
Yeah, no, great, great player. I think, Florida's starting to stack talent. Now it's a matter of continuing to develop that talent. I thought it was interesting. He said many times.
That he grew up,
say what?
A lot of receiver highlights here. I like
a lot of receiver highlights. But I know that he said he grew up a Gator fan. Obviously, he was very, very close with the Gators. His two primary recruiters, though, Sean Spencer and Corey Raymond, neither of which are at the University of Florida. Corey Raymond headed over to LSU, back to LSU. LSU got stuffed in the locker by Billy Napier on both De'Andre Robinson and Jameer Grimsley over the last few days. But interesting to see that his two primary recruiters are gone and he still winds up at the University of Florida. I think that he'll be able to have the opportunity to play, outside of, Devin Moore, Jason Marshall, who've played quite a bit. There's still a huge opportunity. Silk, you mentioned Devin Moore has struggled to stay healthy. Jason Marshall has one more year. We didn't see any of Dijon Johnson this year. Jakeem Jackson had an up and down year, but was a true freshman. And then we still haven't seen anything out of Aaron Gates. So young but talented group, and hopefully continue to see some improvement. Now it's Will Harris's obligation to go and grow and develop these guys into bringing that old DBU moniker back to the University of Florida. So two great gets for the Gators. Like I said, if you were to include them in this class, I think they're number 10 overall in the country on three. So again, not where Florida wanted to be, but also didn't get as many recruits as some of those other classes are ahead of them as well. So ultimately that looks like the end of recruiting for the 2024 class, I believe.
Good for secondary coach Bobby Fisher.
Say what?
Good for secondary coach Bobby Fisher.
A little chess joke for those that missed it there. So let's talk about kind of the opposite of good news that happened for the Gators. But before we do that, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Lucy. Here's the log of Lucy Nicotine. If you guys are looking to do that, these are the breakers that they have. And so what these are is there is a flavor little ball in there that you break with your teeth. It allows you to have increased flavor whenever you are using your nicotine pouches. So if you are looking for these breakers, come in 4 milligrams or 8 milligrams. They are 100% tobacco free and 100% pure nicotine in 6 delicious flavors: apple, ice, espresso, mint, mango. So go take a look at lucy.co/stadium. You'll get 20% off of your first order. They also provide free shipping with a 30-day refund. You can also set yourself up on a subscription-based model where they can send them to you on a duration of your choosing. So again, go check out Lucy. Again, that's lucy.co/stadium for 20% off. Here is the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age. Every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. The news broke on Friday. So happy weekend to you, Nick. A nice 5 p.m. Friday news dump. from Matt Baker, no surprise, that the Gators were under investigation by the NCAA. It later came out over the next few hours that that had to do with the recruitment of Jaden Rashada and his NIL deal that certainly went sideways for all parties involved. Nick, what can you shed light? This happened. The letter was sent, I believe, in June of 2023. They'd previously requested, I think it was a FOIA request that was turned down. A law firm of the Tampa Bay Times sent a letter. That usually gets things moving. But, Nick, what can you share with us about the Florida Gators being under investigation by the NCAA?
Yeah, the letter that we got was a notice of inquiry. So just telling Florida, like, hey, we're looking into you. Typically you would hear about notice of allegations. So this is just the NCAA saying, hey, we're looking into you. The NCAA had been on campus at Florida a couple times in the summer. And when we asked about it, they said, hey, they're just looking into any reported big NIL deals, kind of like across college football, just making sure everything was above board and such. So we were told at the time, yep, nothing to worry about. And I thought, 13.85 million reasons to be worried about something.
Of course.
Basically, I see a lot of people saying it's a non-issue. This is old. It's over, yada, yada. What the NCAA is looking for is if somebody, Billy Napier, or another coach, or anybody at the University Athletic Association was involved in negotiating that contract. And if anyone had receipts, if Harlan or Jaden Rashada had text messages from a UAA employee, Billy Napier, anyone from the coaching staff that discussed those numbers, because the Gator Collective can do that as much as they want. That's where Florida would be in trouble. And that's if the NCAA or if somebody can prove that Billy Napier or somebody inside the UAA was negotiating that number at any point before he signed his NLI. So even if Billy Napier becomes aware of it on National Signing Day when the NLI hadn't come in, and there's proof that Billy's talking about these numbers with a player who has not signed, then that would be an NCAA violation. So that's what the NCAA is looking for. Not just, hey, we think that was a ridiculous amount of money that you're offering a high school kid. They're looking to see, did somebody at Florida break NCAA rules by entering into these negotiations or helping facilitate? They just got Florida State for a coach acting as an Uber.
Very nice.
So
it's illegal, Nick.
Yeah, sure is.
Rules are the rules, Nick.
So
come on.
So that's what they're doing. And I would tell you this, talking to a couple of sources, the NCAA is offering student athletes immunity because if the NCAA would have no way of knowing who took that Alex Atkins took Amaris Mims to a meeting or what Alex Atkins and the collective were offering Amaris Mims unless Amaris Mims talked. So the NCAA is trying to make an example out of some schools. Dan's favorite collective, Life Wallet. I remember when that basketball kid committed, he tweeted like at Life Wallet in his commitment. And then John Reese followed up right after and was like, yo, by the way, here are the terms. It's $400,000 a year and a car. And I'm like,
yeah, it's wild.
Are we not even pretending? Are we not even pretending right now?
The news broke because of Ruiz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I thought these negotiations, which we all know doesn't happen, these negotiations are supposed to take place after the fact. Mm-hmm. Nobody here is ignorant to believe that actually happens. But I'm surprised ever came of that.
This was an interesting, a different circumstance because let's say like DJ Lagway, Texas does not allow kids to get paid for their name, image, and likeness while still in high school. If you do, you lose your high school eligibility. That was not the case in California. So
right.
The Gator Collective, which is now not an organization, could have entered into a NIL deal with Jaden Rashada and started paying him while he was still in high school. That would not have affected his high school eligibility or his college eligibility.
Hmm. Yeah. But did impact Kansas and Nigel Pack. But, you know, again,
no, but you know. to that degree, even if the collective decides to negotiate that with Rashadas in California, which is legal in that capacity, it's still illegal for the coaches to be involved in that and set negotiations and NIL deals.
Yep. So we will find out. Has there been any update since the notice of inquiry, NOI?
The NCAA famously moves just as fast as the wheels of the government, Dan.
Yes.
This could be something that has a resolution in the summer or something that has no resolution until November of this year. And you're playing football games with stuff trickling out bits and pieces as the season goes on. So
it would probably be in NCAA's like best, I guess legal stance to wait for like whatever the Rashad has got legally going on to reside, like to resolve itself. Cause I know they're still trying to reclaim some of that money from that deal falling apart. That's still a thing. I don't know where they at with that, but if you're the NCAA, there's a lot you can find out in those, whether it's civil law, whatever it may be. There's a lot of information you can find out from that being resolved. So we may be waiting for a little minute.
Yeah. The discovery phase, I would imagine, depending on obviously what the nature of a settlement would include, but I would imagine the Gator Collective entity that was available, that it no longer does exist, but somewhat absorbed into Florida Victorious, as well as the University of Florida, probably would not want any sort of legal matter to go to discovery, because I trust the lawyers that are fighting to earn $13 million a share of much more than the NCAA. So we will certainly see, but that was the Friday news dump. So again, we're in an wait and see approach overall at the University of Florida regarding that. Let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale, 15% off of your order. A lot of great stuff for the University of Florida, about 100 different colleges and universities as well. If you have a friend, family member, spouse, coworker that you want to look for apparel for, go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale. Get 15% off of your order. Some other news, tragic news. It was announced over the weekend that former Gators defensive lineman Ronald Powell passed away. I know Dominic Easley came out over the weekend as well and did a GoFundMe looking to raise money for funeral proceedings as well as for Ronald Powell's mother. And at last, I know that they were looking to raise $15,000. I think that number has far exceeded that. Let me pull that up. And it was kind of a who's who of Gators that have donated to that. So far they've raised $16,500. Some of the names on this GoFundMe, and we'll link to the GoFundMe as well as if you feel obligated.
I've got names pulled up here, Dan.
Okay. Yeah. Michael McNeely, Cody Riggs, Jelani Jenkins,
Trent Brown, Jelani Jenkins, DJ Humphries, Aaron Sanders, Jeremy Powell, Max Garcia, Lorente McCray, Willie Green, Dan Quinn, Urban Meyer. That was just as of last night.
Yeah, so very sad story overall. I know that I got to know Ronald a little bit when he was being recruited, saw him, and I think everybody remembers his time on Friday Night Lights where he was wearing those red shorts and dominated everybody at Friday Night Lights. So very sad and tragic story, and certainly we wish you know, our best wishes to the Powell family and those that are our friends and beloved ones of his.
Yeah. Extremely sad situation, man. Rest in peace to Ronald Powell and condolences to the family. And if you can't afford to help them out, definitely, send whatever love and energy you can.
Yeah.
I think the GoFundMe is to help his mother with funeral costs.
Yep. Other news, this is a popular name. The Gators still do not have a position open for offensive coordinator. And even if they did, not sure that this would be a name that would be associated with the job. But it looks like our friend Brian Johnson will not be retained by the Philadelphia Eagles. My partner Brooke is a big Eagles fan, and I sent her that message, and she hearted it. So, not sure.
No, I don't do that to Brian. Don't do that.
Oh man! So there's that news for him. Certainly a guy that you know, helped Kyle Trask, helped the Florida Gators, moved into that 1 year as the as offensive coordinator, and just didn't work out for this season. I have no doubt that he will land on his feet. I believe he interviewed with the Carolina Panthers, and I believe it was the Atlanta Falcons for their head coaching opportunity. I don't expect him to get either of those roles, but again, you know, he'll land on his feet just fine. The Gators did have University of Washington safety Asa Turner on campus this weekend. Will Harris recruited him when he was at Washington, and he came to visit this past weekend. He is a 4-star in the transfer portal rankings and was a 4-star as a recruit. Silk, a white safety, originally from Carlsbad, California.
I'll allow it.
Alex Anzalone type hair.
You got some flow there.
Yeah. Any thoughts on Asa Turner? Is it a guy that you guys have looked much into? 6'3", 200 pounds, one season of eligibility remaining, played 43 games. 2022 was his most productive year, 52 tackles, 2 interceptions, 3 pass breakups.
He grades well when he's on the field. He's just been battling injuries. Physical guy, big guy, athletic guy. Like what he could do in space, coming down here, running the alley. He's what we're missing in our secondary, so it would be a good get if we could get him to come on board. And I allow a white person in my secondary this year. You know.
All right.
Is it Asa or Asa? It's Asa.
I said Asa, but it could be. I think Asa. But whatever, you know, tomato, tomato. Well, it's kind of like Mazuka. We called him Mascua for a while, but I'm pretty sure it's Asa.
Well, who cares?
Yeah. But we'll learn it when he gets here. He said this to Gators Online about his visit. It was smooth. The only face I knew was Coach Harris. That's my guy. I was just trying to go there, meet some new faces, and see what they're all about and go from there. It was a good experience. The sun was out. It's raining every day here. Fortunately, he caught when the sun was out, because it has been cloudy here in Florida for the last month. It's raining every day here. Here being Seattle, it's cool to experience that. When asked about why Florida might be in contention to land him, the opportunity, come in there, have a good year, have a good season, the sky's the limit. Come in and work with Coach Harris. That would be in a great position heading into the season. So he did not disclose if he was going to take any other visits, where else he might go. Florida, I believe this is the last day that you could enroll. Currently being in Seattle means that that's probably not going to happen right now. But that's just deductive reasoning, Nick. But we'll see what might happen with Asa Turner. Nick, you got your ears on the ground. Anything more to share?
No, I mean, you could hop into some online classes from Seattle. But
that's a good point, yeah.
Coaching staff might want to get you into the workout program, which has already started, which would not be in Seattle. But kind of like what Silk said, like there's definitely familiarity with Will Harris there. When I talked to Will Harris, it was right after he had been announced, and he was flying back to the West Coast to like get his stuff and come back. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to start watching all this film. And he probably looked and was like, my goodness, we don't tackle. We got guys that not only can they not tackle, they're not interested in even attempting to tackle. Mm-hmm. So we need to get some guys in here that enjoy contact.
Need to buy a new chessboard. what do you think about the white safety, Nick? You like his game?
Great hair.
Riley Cooper, man.
Jealous.
Big vibes.
Who was that? It was like Will Compton and Rashad Mendenhall. When Rashad was like, we need to have, instead of a Pro Bowl, we need to have an all black versus all white team.
Mendenhall was
don't
wild.
Like our chances. Don't like Asa. Our chances.
Hey, Mendenhall was wild, and I forgot he said that, bro.
The problem would be the secondary. Like, we're going to have Julian Edelman playing both ways.
Well, the Dolphins have that one cornerback that was activated for one game.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of injuries happened, Dan.
That's true. They did say he was the fastest guy on the team, which I didn't believe. I thought it was being generous, you know, like as a surprise, you know, just a little gotcha moment. But
But
I don't like our chances. I'll be honest with you.
I just want to know, how Mendenhall would want to split up the staffs as well.
Well, we get Bill Belichick probably. Nick Saban's on staff.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin. You guys get Mike Tomlin.
Yeah. Maybe Brian Johnson as quarterback coach.
Give me Dungy.
Dungy.
Yeah. We're gonna have to go Big Ten. We're gonna have to try to run the ball.
Grab and pound.
Control
the tight end sets.
Don't know who's covering Tyreek. Don't know who's covering any of the receivers. I think safety's a tough spot for us.
Yeah, safety's tough.
Yeah, yeah.
Corner's tough.
Got to get Sean Lynch out of retirement.
I think everything is pretty tough now that I think about it. Like, there's some things where it's going to be more even, but I look at it, I'm like, man, I don't know where our strategic advantage outside of maybe kicker might be. You know what I mean? In terms of options, maybe punter. Yeah.
We'll just go for two.
Yeah. I mean...
this is great content. Man.
Every time.
Listen, we're gonna have good quarterback play. We're gonna have a good offensive line.
For sure.
Our defensive line is gonna be okay. We'll have some good linebackers.
I think they mentioned
pre-game gear is gonna be mid.
Yeah.
Not a lot of accessories.
We're gonna look like Penn State out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh man. I think that they said. In order to solve for the kicking, and they made some trade-offs here, that Polynesian went on the white team and Asian was on black.
Splitting for it like
young,
that.
Yeah, for young ho.
This is like the Chappelle show with the race draft.
Yeah. I always wanted to say this for shizzle.
I didn't create these rules, just remembering what I went over here. So what would the spread be?
That was crazy. It was firing his ass up for that one too.
Where are we playing the game, Nick?
What would the spread be? First off,
if it's in Boston, we might lose.
if it's in Baltimore,
I like our chances.
If it's in Baltimore, the spread is -35.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're covering.
You know. All right, so we failed to mention that Manny Nunnery, the linebacker that transferred to the Gators, redshirt senior linebacker that transferred to the Gators last season from Houston, put his name in the transfer portal on January 11th. He has told the staff he is coming back and has withdrawn his name into the portal. The Gators sit, according to Zach Alboverdi, at 85 scholarship players currently, with the chance to obviously sign some more with some attrition between now and when fall camp starts. The Gators have 20 seniors, 17 juniors, 22 sophomores, and 26 freshmen in that group.
I mean, between our new linebacker coach and Nunnery, I hope one of them figures out fourth and long. Like, you know what I'm saying? I need them to get on the same page for sure.
Man, so linebacker group right now, I think looks pretty good. Obviously, the Gators needed him from a depth perspective. The Gators now have 8 at the linebacker position. Nick, is Jamarcus Weston listed as an edge rusher now, or is that just Zach's article?
No, I've never. In my life, seen a more clear message sent than to move a receiver who wears 82 to safety and then to edge. Girl. And someone on our message board was like, oh man, he must have gotten pretty big. I'm like, nope. Nope. Looks the same, man. Looks like a receiver.
Yeah. It's a recruiting thing, Dave, right? You tell Lisa Turner, hey, we only have a few. We only have eight safeties. A number of them are going to transfer, right? So we just moved Jamarcus Weston from safety to edge. So we have an open spot for you now.
Yeah. So, I mean, my goodness, I've never seen a message. I remember going out to practice one day and be like, oh, Weston's not here.
He's got to have a degree by now, though, right? Like,
you'd think.
Listen, man, some people just enjoy being in Gainesville.
How about the ninth year senior from the University of Miami?
That's crazy.
That boy needs to get a job. That nobody wants to make that Indeed profile, but it's calling, my guy.
I think he did have a job, but he was paid in stock, and now that stock is nothing. So he's probably just, hey, let me run college back one more time.
A life wallet?
Yeah. I tried to move on from talking about that, but yeah, that stock is struggling mightily. The Gators also announced, and I forgot his, or the Gators didn't announce it. He announced it that the Gators had a walk-on punter that we talked about a couple weeks ago. He was going to sign an NIL deal, be a PWO at the University of Florida, would fill in for punting duties as Jeremy Crawshaw graduates next season. But he announced that he's going to be going to the University of California, Berkeley on a full scholarship, which I don't blame you. Right. So
Gators are in position for,
yeah. Gators need a kicker and a punter in the near future. Trey Smack is a junior. Jeremy Crawshaw, the Boomin' Onion, speaking of Outback, is graduating this year. So
he graduated.
Jeremy Crawshaw did. Good.
Already graduated.
Is he getting his master's degree or?
You can get a certificate, a master's degree. You should have to be enrolled in some sort of classes. So, Congrats to him.
That's the best.
Does he plan on staying here or heading back to Australia, Nick?
He would like to play kick punt in the NFL.
I'm sure he would. So,
Being in college but not being in college is vibes, though. Like being in college and being able to do all the shenanigans without having to go to school and worry about shit the next day, that's the vibes. Like that's what I was doing, but I shouldn't have been doing.
That was like Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart was taking like ballroom dancing his last semester.
Yeah, just hanging out. Man, Kelby didn't move to outside linebacker. That's just like
there was a question here. Yeah, no.
What's up with that?
Is that Gator One Media? Is Kelby Collins moving to outside linebacker? Gator One Media.
Does this mean like edge? Like he played edge last year. He's big, dude. Kelby Collins. Yeah. Like I was thinking about this because like being a journalist, like I'm around the players a lot. I understand like how big these guys are, but like I'm not around NFL guys, and I just see them on TV, and I'm like, oh yeah, whatever. They're probably normal size. Like Kelby Collins is massive. He's not an outside linebacker. He might move into being like a strong side defensive end, but he can also play, you know, with his hand up at edge. But TJ Searcy would be the guy that would be at edge. I think Collins can play edge and end. But no, he's not a full-time move there.
Yeah, and there might have been some confusion on Zach's article, but he lists him as an edge rusher. So
listed as edge on their school website too.
Yep. So
yeah, Florida Victoria is not, they're not writing the roster on the team and stuff. They're just putting out graphics. So
yeah. Not a lot of them. Back to back to back.
Yeah, shout out to them. Sometimes you gotta put graphics out.
Harrison Sanchez, Searcy needs to make a big jump in the offseason.
Kelby does too. Both of those, I expect both of those guys too, right? We brought those guys in saying that they were like the Bama and Georgia talents of the world. So now that we're getting those higher end guys in the trenches, we got to see what development looks like. But I need both of those guys to justify us not going crazy in the portal at those positions. You need those guys to wake up and make some big plays and take some snaps away from these older guys. In my opinion. So I'm looking for those same jumps, my guy.
That freshman and sophomore jump.
Already.
Freshman to sophomore
jump. Being young is not a good excuse anymore. It's just an excuse.
Not anymore.
Yep.
All right. Some just recruiting notes, some names to be on the lookout for, and then we can kind of wrap up here. Peyton Joseph has gotten a number of RPM predictions to the University of Florida. He is a 6'3", 280-pound interior offensive lineman from Houston County High School in Fort Valley, Georgia. Florida State and Alabama are his suitors, but right now heavily leaning to the Florida Gators. Another name is Keon Young. This is a guy that plays at Lakeland High School. I know Ahmad Black was very, very high on him this season, even as a junior. He is being looked at by a number of schools, four-star, the 219th overall player on the On3 industry ranking, 6', 171 pounds. Florida is the leader in his recruitment now, it looks like, as well. Just a couple of names to be on the lookout. We will dive into 2025 recruiting at some point here in the near future, but that will not be today because I am wholly unprepared to do so. So any final thoughts before we do a final ad read? Go ahead. So,
no, 25 seems to be off to a good start. I'm just not going to get too crazy. We may get jump up to the three, number two class, but as we all know, you got a fan with some, you know, reality intact and know what it's going to get like in November, December when negotiations and the real recruiting starts. So, it's a good foundation that you're building on, but don't get too crazy on whatever we're getting because everything, you know, the tide comes back in November, December.
Yeah. Those checks have to start being written out to be cashed. So right. Do you guys ever see a day where National Signing Day, and I know National Signing Day in February used to be this kind of huge unofficial holiday for college football fans. Early National Signing Day really kind of changed that with the transfer portal, the number of times we're seeing elite transfers transfer. Do you see National Signing Day becoming even less important and transfers really being kind of that prime thing that people are looking at, a mixture of both? But what do you guys think of National Signing Day with how many transfers we're now seeing out of young first-year and second-year players?
I've had some people in the NIL space just asking me like, hey, well, where should you value, if you're a collective, where should you value your NIL money? Are you going to throw it at a kid in high school who might be there for a year? And if we're moving towards unlimited transfers, or are you going to throw it at the Caleb Downs, who is going to be a top five pick in 2 years? And right. He's wants to leave Alabama because his coach left. And hey, we're going to spend that there on a kid who's already proven it at the college level. And we can get 2 years out of them. I don't know. But the calendar needs to figure itself out. Because like having
I don't think it can.
Going, the portal happening, and signing day, that's just a mess.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, you have school in there, right? So that's what your biggest barrier is, right? You know, that they have to be enrolled. There's drop ad. There's university requirements of when they need to be on campus. But Silk, what were your thoughts? Sorry, interrupted.
Oh, no, you good. Some of the same thing. Like, I don't know how they figure it all out. But from a GM perspective, and a lot of these schools are starting to hire people to come in to manage rosters and, you know, keep everything like flowing and fluid with scholarship counts and depth charts, all of that stuff. It's a lot to figure out. But it makes more sense financially if I'm the money spender, and if it's my money, I would rather spend my money in the portal because 9 times out of 10, you're getting guys to come in to produce right away from the portal. You're bringing guys in from the high school ranks. It's a lot of projections on what they could be. Ideally, you want to be able to work both. And I think the Alabama, the Georgias, the Texas of the world will be elite high school wise and also in the transfer portal. But like for programs that aren't like throwing the bags of money around, you got to be a little bit more strategic on how you spend this budget that you got, or this salary, this personal salary cap, because there is no salary caps. So like, it just depends on the program, the booster involvement, how entrenched they are in all of this. And you kind of decide on how to spend that money. But ideally you want to throw money at both. But if I have either or, and I got to weigh one over the other, I'm gonna go transfer portal because it's more solid. You know, I'm getting guys that are coming in to start right away, has produced on the college level. I know exactly what I'm getting, you know.
Very, very good. Any final thoughts before we jettison for the day?
I would like just one month. I think my first time I said it, I wanted a year. Just like one normal month covering this program.
I'm just a normal week.
Where's the fun in that, bro?
Just a week. Yeah. A week. Well, we can start in a week. Just one normal week. Would be cool.
Message boards wouldn't be popping.
Fine.
Your tweets wouldn't be firing off and getting a bunch of Elon bucks.
None of the chest tweets would have happened. Bro, you need all of that, bro. It brings texture.
I think if I went and covered a different team, my hair might go black again.
If you was covering Bama right now and all the players are just bouncing?
If I was covering Bama, that means I would have had 15 heavenly years.
Yeah, but now you're about to be on the downside of them years.
And I don't think all of those years were pretty, even though they did really well. I don't think that they were all very pretty.
Still crazy fans.
Yeah, your major Applewhite years and all that.
Homeboy's about to be on.
But as a writer, you still got to deal with the rabbit fans. So anytime Bama doesn't win it all, it's still chaos on their message boards.
Yeah. I don't give a piss about nothing but the Tide and the Citrus Bowl.
Let's see. I want to shout out, Nick. I know you posted something or somebody did. I want to give the Gators that are going to be in the NFC and AFC championship. Let's see. So let's give them shout out. Nine guys.
Want to run through?
Yeah, if you could run through them, if you have them.
The only team without a Gator is the Niners. The Chiefs.
I like the Lions to beat them then.
The Chiefs have LaMichael Pirine, Juwan Taylor, and Pirine was just moved up right before the playoffs to the active roster.
Oh, very good.
So Pirine, Juwan Taylor, Kadarius Toney, who is a consistent healthy scratch, Tommy Townsend, and Trey Dean is on the practice squad. The Lions obviously have Alex Anzalone. He is introducing himself as Gator Boy. Nice. If you're watching the Lions game, Chauncey Gardner Johnson, CD Deuce came up with a big pick. Ooh, savagely tossed the ball back to Baker. My guy, you can't catch that ball. I know it's instinct, but you can't catch that ball.
But you heard that there was a little drama beforehand, right?
Listen, man, it's Chauncey Gardner.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you just got to ignore him. Yeah. And then Baker Mayfield was like, watch more film. And then Chauncey Gardner Johnson intercepted him, ran right into him, threw him the ball. Baker Mayfield, the guy that he is, caught it. And
James Houston, athletic also on the instincts, line. Man, just catch it.
Yeah, James Houston was inactive for this game,
but on the active roster,
right? Was a healthy scratch, I believe, but still on the active roster. I think the expectation is for him to play against the 49ers. Don't know if he was nursing an injury or if they wanted another player or two on maybe a different position for that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So good luck.
And the Ravens have Jeremiah Moon.
Very good. Very good. So Jeremiah Moon, Alex Anzalone, Chauncey Gardner Johnson, Tommy Townsend, LaMichael Pirine, Kadarius Toney, Juwan Taylor, and Trey Dean to an extent. Good luck against your opponents and good luck in the Super Bowl. I guess this means that there will be another Gator in the Super Bowl. The Gators should need to put out a graphic like Penn State that one year that said Penn State's been represented in every Super Bowl. And then like in very small letters, it said like except for five. So Gators lucky enough to have another Gator in the Super Bowl. Let's get one final ad read. Silk, while you're listening to this.
Man, I think I have that number. I'm pulling this story up. I believe this to be true. That Florida has... 20, this will be the 22nd year that the Gators, 22nd consecutive year that Florida has a player in the Super Bowl. And I think they have had a player on the winning team in 9 of the last 11 years.
Wow. It's a pretty cool stat. I know the Gators were amongst the highest programs. I think they were in tied for second for most players in that divisional round last week. As well. So putting a lot of players in the NFL, a lot of longevity. Really cool to see Alex Anzalone, who really struggled to stay healthy at the University of Florida. It's kind of funny. There was a number of people on Twitter that had no idea that Alex Anzalone played for the Gators. Maybe a little bit younger in their fandom, maybe a little younger in age. I remember
secret visit.
Yeah, secret visit. He was committed to what? Clemson, I believe.
Penn State. Right?
Penn State. Yeah. That's what it was. Oh yeah, DeMarcus Robinson, Gator, baby. Clemson
one. I think did not sign NLI. He like hit the road. Was driving down from, I think he's from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Was just driving down and like hit the Georgia line and was like called the Penn State coaching staff. Like, hey, by the way, I'm very close.
Not going to be there
and not coming. So
good times, man. Good times.
That was early enrolling was still like new and weird. Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember when DeMarcus Robinson committed to the University of Florida. He just showed up one day too. He was committed to Clemson. He just showed up one day. I don't know if we'll ever have those days anymore. But I long for the days of what recruiting used to be like. Way back when. All right, gentlemen. Silk, you have song of the week, so think about it. As always, go support our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them on Archer Road, right off of 75, right near the Chick-fil-A that has three different drive-thrus. So anything that you could want, from apparel to accessories to tailgating supplies, for all ages, from big to small, old to young, whatever you might need for the Gator fan in your life, go visit alumnihall.com. Tell them your friends from Stadium and Gale sent you their direction. So, song of the week.
I'm going to go with Mind My Business by D Smoke. Let that marinate in your spirit a little bit, man. Nice little jingle.
Nick, Silk, anything before we head out of here?
Shout out to Brandon, man. You know, your boy, you from Clueston. If you from Weston's hometown, man. A lot of muck in the building, man. I'm from Belgrade. I had a lot of lies about Weston when he first got there.
I think we all did. All right, gentlemen. Well, we will see you guys at the same corner, maybe slightly different time next week. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you guys soon.
Was told to stay out the way until you know where you are. Tell the coach to lay out the play and play it close for each yard. Other niggas gon' ride your way, just stay afloat and keep calm. Still be ready to catch a fade and play the role of a warrior. Life will throw distractions every altitude. Always keep your word like the Beatitudes. Even when absurd people throw evil in your world, keep them a safe distance away from all your avenues. My little cousin and they call him Phantom. I taught him all he know, that's my little man. I bought him all new clothes and told him either way it goes, you better stay down with your toes, do what you can. Cause they gon' try to ruffle you feathers. Fuck with you, never budge, cause you better stay in line like Knuckles. You clever, much as you can, no substitute. Listen, shit, I told them haters, bye-bye, bitches. I just stay in my lane and mind my business. I ain't interested in fly-by riches from the sidelines. That's why I mind my business. Mind my. I just mind my business. Business. 25 hours every day I search my soul to reach up. There ain't no coward in my frame, I make my foes my seesaw. Tunnel vision, I'm in my lane, away I go, I won't stop. 100 million tucked in the safe, the case is closed, I'm a warrior. My wife came in my life, drove me to sanity. Distinguish between the sweetest and vanity. Coffee, no creamer, killing me softly, I need the energy. Call me old fashioned, but in the canopy. I be getting what these hoes promise and can't deliver. Ain't got no canvas, won't paint a picture.
Ain't got no time for they faint attempts. My little house is straight made of bricks. Climbed a mountain and made a river.
They gon' try to ruffle you feathers. Fuck with you, never budge, cause you better stay in line like Knuckles. You clever, much as you can, no substitute.
Listen, shit, I told them haters, bye-bye, bitches.
Bye, bitches.
I just stay in my lane and my business.
My business.
I ain't interested in fly-by riches from the sidelines. That's why I mind my business.
My, I just mind my business. My, I just mind my business.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.